it's not digging ditches, but we are working on the record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds.
And I'm Marcy Silman. Earlier this week, the head of the Boeing Machinists Union, Tom Robleski, announced that he would step down. In a statement, Robleski said the experience, quote, changed my perspective on work-life balance. He continued, your job should not destroy your health. What level of stress do you have to face before you put your health at risk? Dr. David Posen is a doctor and author of many books about managing stress, including his latest. It's called Is Work Killing You? Hi, Dr. Posen.
Good afternoon, Marcy.
You have one of the coolest nicknames, Doc Calm. Where did you get that?
Well, I wrote a weekly column on a Canadian website for a year back around 1999 called canoe.ca, and they came up with the moniker Doc Calm, C-A-L-M, as a takeoff on .com.
Uh-huh.
And it stayed with me.
How often do you see patients because of work stress?
Well, I've been doing stress counseling for 30 years, and I always think of the big three problems that people usually bring to me are work-related, relationship-related, usually family issues, and financial or money problems. And then, of course, there's many other things as well. But I think that what's happening is that the work-related stress is probably showing up more often as the primary reason why people are referred to see me.
How is work stress different from financial stress or relationship stress?
Well, actually, technically, it's not different because the stress reaction is in our body. I mean, it's a physiological response to situations and things that are going on around us. So it's like a fight or flight response. It's mediated by adrenaline and cortisol and other stress hormones. And your body can't distinguish stress from work situations from stress from family relationship problems or money problems. It's like your body can't really distinguish caffeine in tea from caffeine in coffee. It just gets the kind of accumulated amount from all different sources. So physiologically, it's not any different. But I think one of the reasons why workplace stress has become more of a problem is, first of all, so many people spend most of their waking hours, certainly during the week, at work, and now with longer hours, people are working on the weekend. So it absorbs a lot of our time, and there's less time to recover and reboot and so on. But the other reason, I think, is because a lot of people feel a low level of control at work. And so the stress, I think, is more intense. And I think it's more intense anyway in the last 3 to 5 years. That's why I wrote the book, because I think that the problems in the workplace are getting worse, and people are more and more reluctant to say anything about it, because, among other things, they don't want to lose their jobs.
We're talking about workplace stress with Doc Calm, Dr. David Posen. So is it that we're having to work more that's the cause of more stress at the workplace, or are there other factors?
Well, there are certainly other factors. I talk about the three major factors that I've identified in the workplace that I focused on in the book are the volume of work, the velocity of work, and abuse in the workplace. So the volume of work, I think, really relates to the ongoing downsizing that's going on in workplaces. And so people keep being let go, and the so-called lucky survivors are being asked to pick up the work that had been done by more people previously. So they end up doing more with less, essentially. That's leading to longer hours of work. It's also leading to self-neglect because people have less time and less energy to do things like exercise and take care of themselves and eat properly. I think that the volume of work has definitely increased, which has led to increased pressure and also longer hours. The second issue of velocity is the pace of work has sped up, primarily because of technology, but also I really think people have become more impatient. They expect things faster, and the expectations have become unrealistic and certainly difficult to meet, and so there's pressure that way. And the third area is abuse in the workplace. And, I mean, I'm sure this has gone on forever and a day. I get the sense that it's worse now, again, because I think people are under pressure. A lot of the abuse that happens in the workplace, I think, is because the abusers themselves are under a lot of stress and not handling it very well. But you take that combination, the volume of work, the speed of work, and then abuse of people in the workplace, it's a pretty toxic mix for most people.
Dr. Posen, I introduced you by talking about the Boeing machinist leader who's stepping down, Tom Robleski, and part of that reason was that he was hospitalized for problems with an ulcer that was, those problems exacerbated during the ongoing Boeing contract talks that he had to lead his membership through. So I'm curious what other ways stress might have a physical impact.
Well, that's a very interesting and very sad story that you related. And stress has physiologically, it's mediated by adrenaline and cortisol and other stress hormones. So what happens is your heart rate speeds up, your blood pressure goes up, your cholesterol level goes up, all of which is very hard, of course, on the heart and the cardiovascular system. Chronic stress can lead to insulin resistance, which can lead after a while to type 2 diabetes, but it also can lead to problems with overweight and other endocrine problems. But the other thing is that chronic stress actually undermines our immune system. It suppresses our immune system. And when you mentioned an ulcer, one of the things that happens, because ulcers are tied to a bacteria called H. pylori, and so when your resistance to infection is lowered, then that bacterium has a chance to become more active and create problems with gastric acidity and so on. So people get heart problems, they get ulcers, they get flare-ups of colitis, they get prone to diabetes, all kinds of things, high blood pressure. But put it all together, it's very hard on the body. And our bodies were not designed to have ongoing stress. Stress was meant to be a kind of something that happened episodically, a period of threat or danger. You mount a stress reaction, the danger passes, and the stress reaction is turned off. In today's world, it's turned on pretty much constantly for a lot of people, and that leads to big health problems. And frankly, I respect this gentleman for deciding that it wasn't worth it to him and deciding to step down, because when it starts to affect your health to the point of being in hospital, your body's giving you a pretty important message.
Well, a lot of us maybe can't take that step of stepping down. What else can we do?
Well, there are a number of ways of reducing stress for individuals. One of the points I make in my book is that, to me, it has to be a shared responsibility. Individual employees need to learn how to handle their own stress, for sure. But organizations and companies and corporations also need to look at the things that they're doing that are creating stress for people and start to address those issues, like long hours, like too much pressure, like expecting people to pick up emails at all hours of the day, evening, night, weekend, and so on. But in terms of individuals, first of all, we need to pace ourselves. We need to take timeouts, just like athletes do during sports. Taking timely timeouts gives you a chance for your stress level to come down, for your energy level to come up, and also for you to, be more productive at work again. When people are exhausted, they don't perform very well, and that's one of the ironies, that when you push people too hard in the workplace, it actually hurts productivity and actually hammers the bottom line. Other things, exercise is one of the best ways of reducing stress, because it drains off stress energy, and people are not getting enough exercise. We need more sleep. We're a sleep-deprived society, and in addition to the fact that tired people don't handle stress very well, sleep deprivation in and of itself actually raises cortisol levels. Most of the symptoms of sleep deprivation are also stress symptoms. So getting more sleep will help. Learning relaxation techniques, meditation, yoga, abdominal breathing and progressive muscle relaxation. There's all kinds of names of techniques that will help people to neutralize the stress reaction. And then just things like, we talk about work-life balance. It doesn't have to be a perfect balance, but you need some leisure in your life as a counterbalance to this ongoing stress. And all of those things will help. Another thing that will help is social support, talking to other people. being able to vent some of your feelings, getting people to support you and encourage you and to help you feel that you're not weak or you know, there's something wrong with you because you're struggling. All of those things will be helpful, but corporations and companies also need to play their part by turning down the pressure and turning down the heat.
I'm ready to pack my bags and head for a beach. Dr. David Posen is a doctor. Yes, you just told me to do that, the doctor's orders. Dr. David Posen, a doctor in Ontario, Canada. His book is called Is Work Killing You? It's a fitting question. Thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure, Marcy. Thank you. And by the way, one of the key words in making time for yourself is the word permission. So give yourself permission to do that.
Well,
pleasure to talk to you.
You too. I will do that. It's The Record. I'm Marcy Silman.